worship here tonight. Go in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Exodus chapter 20, if you would. Exodus chapter 20. We are going to continue on in the Ten Commandments. Tonight we are going to cover the third commandment. And again, my intentions was to get a lot further than this. I originally told you, I said, well, give me a couple of weeks, we'll do kind of five and five. And then we did one, and I said, well, next week we'll do three. Last week we did one, I said, this week we'll do two, and this week we'll do one. So that's honestly not on purpose. It's just when you kind of begin to dig into the text a little bit. And the Ten Commandments, we would all agree, is very important. Yes, Brother Eddie? I have to come back. Yes, so I cannot leave with an unfinished series. So, yes, I wish I could, brother. It's my heart to be back with you. Oh, we love you, brother. Appreciate it. Well, let's at least cover number three anyhow. I wish I could finish them all. Unless you want to stay around tonight and I don't have notes for it, it means I'll ramble a lot. We can get through all 10 of them. And so we won't do that to you tonight. Look there, if you would, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. And this is what it says. We've read the introduction of this a few times. We're going to cover the two that we've talked about and go right into the third in verse 7. Exodus 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Verse 7 again. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, tonight once again we ask you, Lord, for your help. God, as we turn to your word here tonight, on this Wednesday evening, God, and we want to understand more about your holy name and the importance of the third commandment. God, it's not something that's archaic, not something that's outdated. God, it's something that is relevant for the day and the hour in which we live. And God, no doubt this will touch us and convict us. But Lord, you're able to edify us here tonight in this service. Be with us in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Well, I'll be honest with you. Studying through this third commandment, I have found it to be a very convicting study. And reason being is, I believe it's probably an American problem as a whole, but I can say certainly for my generation, speaking or using the Lord's name lightly can be a very common thing. And we hear it all the time. It could be on the news, it could be on your phone, it could be in literature, whatever it is. Even it could be a meme, if you know what that is, where people make light of the things of God. We've got to be very careful about that. And I noticed this in my father's mother, my grandmother, but on my father's side. They really, their generation, and some of you that are older, probably remember there was a time, there was a lot more emphasis put on that. You did not just go around and use the Lord's name lightly. You didn't just say, if you would, and follow me for the lesson here tonight, if you would excuse me, just say Jesus every time you got frustrated, or just use the Lord God just lightly, or nowadays in a form of a text, OMG, oh my God. We don't like saying those things, and I'm trying to raise my children likewise as well. But we are living in a time where it's a very light thing to do something like that. And my grandmother also, my grandmother Ramona, was very very adamant that you did not use bywords, is what they called them. Holly's grandfather called it barnyard language. It's where, number one, you didn't cuss. We all know that. You don't, profanity's bad. But even those other words you insert there as something as a substitute, you ain't supposed to use those as well. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Jesus himself would say this, that out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaketh. Even many writers would talk about this. Some would say that speech is an indication of character. Socrates said this, "Speak that I may see you. Speak that I may see you." And the old country phrases this, "What's down in the well is going to come up in the bucket." And the what it is talking about the way that you talk, the words that you use, and the way that you use your tongue. Now, if that is true on a horizontal level, and we realize there's certain things that you don't say to each other or about each other or use each other's name lightly, it's even more true, and we need to reintroduce ourselves to this on the vertical level as well. We must understand there is a great value when it comes to the name of God Almighty. You have to admit, we don't go around and say things like this. And again, tonight, just endure me just a little bit for the sake of the lesson. But we don't go around and say, you know, I swear to Derek. Why don't we say that? Because we realize that my name has a little value on top of that. And many people will say, who is he? But why is it that we insert the Lord's name there? Because we realize how valuable it is. Now, we're not supposed to do that. I don't like my children saying things like that either. But the point I'm trying to make is this. We've got to be careful. And I said, Lord, help our generation to once again keep a reverence tied to the name of the Lord Almighty. So here tonight, we're going to first go over the text. We're going to talk about the names of God a little bit. Then we're going to talk about the abuses of that name, and then we're going to talk about the right uses of that name. So the text, the names of God, the abuses, and the right uses of that name. Let's look there, if you would, at the text here tonight. Let's kind of walk through it a little bit in verse 7. I'll read it again tonight for our study. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Notice the word Lord there, capital in my Bible, and study capital L-O-R-D. Not just a capital L, capital L-O-R-D. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord, capital letters, will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now that word name there, if we look in the original language and the Hebrew, that stands more than just pronouncing something. But it's with the idea and the understanding that this name includes much. It includes a person's nature. For instance, here tonight, if I was to use Brother Glenn's name as a reference, I would get his permission to do so. Why is that? Because I am taking his life, I am taking his character, his nature, his ministry, and I want to use the weight of his name to help me in life, to get somebody to understand, look, that's a good reference right there, and I can work my way around the room and we can do so. Likewise, you could think of people that if you needed a reference, you would never use their name. Now, you don't have to tell us who they are, but you know there's some people, if you're trying to get a job, you ain't going to put them up there because you realize it ain't going to do you any good at all. So when we're talking about the name of God, we are talking about who he is, his nature, his teachings, his word, his authority. So when we're talking about using his name, secondly, the idea we're talking about using that name in vain, that word vain there, as you know, means empty, or really to help us understand this, a good way to put it is to misuse his name. It's this idea of taking that name and applying it and using it in a half-hearted way, in a way that it should never be used. Again, there's certain ways I would never use your name. And if I did misuse your name, I could be held accountable in court if I was to do something to damage your character or to mislead people about you. There could be a subpoena that would come my way, and I could either be sued or taken to court or imprisoned, depending on what I said, because I've taken my words, mentioned your name, and applied it to a certain context, situation, and tried to take who you are, and I've misused it. Again, if that is true on the human level, how much truer is it on the level of a divine triune God? We've got to be careful how we use the Lord's name. Thirdly, notice about our text, and we'll get into this a little later, He will not hold them guiltless. So if you misuse His name, you are guilty. You are guilty, and you are somebody that you must understand this. It is no light matter. It's nothing to joke about when we're using the Lord's name. And we're going to go through this in a little bit. We're going to get into hypocrisy and to profanity, all these different things, and we'll look at that just a little bit later. So any questions about that before we move forward here in our teaching tonight? Because now we're going to look at some of the different names of God. Any questions, anything that I can clarify here tonight? Sister Shelley. If it's genuinely giving him praise, I would say it's okay. Now, if it's just a light... Yeah, frivolous, just a bad habit or a habit of, you know, catching a softball in the outfield and giving God praise for it. Yeah, that would be an empty use of that. I would be careful there. Yeah, if you would, again, I would agree with you in the sense if it is a light usage of the name or just a habit, yeah, we definitely need to be careful. But, I mean, there's times, obviously, genuine praise is obviously okay, and we'll talk about genuine praise a little bit later. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. There are times that's just a phrase people use. There's some people don't have any, or have no relationship with the Lord of all, Lord at all, and yet they'll still use that as kind of a, just a quick insert. So we got to be careful. Yes, I agree. And especially, you know, if you win a lottery or something, don't praise the Lord for all that. Pay your tithes, of course, but don't do none of that. So we got to be careful. So again, some people apply it to all these different contexts. As she's saying, we got to be careful. It's not just a loose phrase that we. And again, Lord help us, because again, my generation, I say that sincerely, has probably been very light with that. And this, look, if there is such a thing, I know there is, Christian comedians, they've got to be careful as well. Because I have seen some context at times, I thought to myself, I'm just got to be careful there that we just don't make so light of the things of God that it's just some sort of comical line. Years ago, I think I've shared this with you, but somebody gave me a DVD of Christian comedy. It was called Thou Shalt Laugh. I was so vexed by probably the second little act there, all clean, but I just thought it was so much looseness with it. And again, just taking Bible verses out of context, we just got to be careful. And I'm not an uptight guy. I enjoy a little humor every now and then. But Lord, help us to be careful that we're not irreverent to His name. Any other thoughts or questions, Brother Tommy? Yeah, got to be careful. Yeah, and we got to be careful. And some of these things are bad habits. You know, sometimes we can develop bad habits, and these things have got to be broken, and you got to be purposeful about them. And again, I've been studying this, and I would like to have the same reverence that my grandmother's generation had. I'd like to see that among us. Any other thoughts or questions? All right, let's look a little further into the name of God. When we're talking about using the Lord's name in vain, what does this mean? And I'll not do a deep dive on the subject here tonight, but we will reference some things when it comes to the name of the Lord, because anytime you begin to study the names of God, it is a very interesting study. It is weighty, it is deep, and there's various different names that represent His character and His actions, and different names He was called in the Bible. But the one that we probably need to understand more than anything, again, in the Jewish context, again, you see that word L-O-R-D, all capital, not just the L, and some translations have done away with that, and I wish they wouldn't, because I think it's a beautiful translation to see it capital L-O-R-D. But when it's translated like that, you get these letters, Y-H-W-H. Y-H-W-H. Now, for those of you that are probably like me, you see that, and how do you pronounce that? Well, you've often heard it said Yahweh, and I probably don't say it just right. You hear somebody have that, as somebody that's a master of the Hebrew can say it just right, but that's what it means, and it's meant to be unique. It's meant to be special, and some people say Jehovah, Jehovah. There's various different ways people say it, and again, I don't have all that down packed, but I know this. That is the name of God Almighty. We're going to dig into that a little bit more. This is who the Jews talked about. Now, Jews were very reverent, and even to this day, Orthodox Jews are very reverent when it comes to this name. I was reading a little bit today. By the way, I've heard this before, but kind of dug into it a little bit. But Jewish scribes, when they would come to that name, and they would write it with the pen, they would take that completely good pen, throw it away so it can never be written with again. Get them a fresh one. When they come to that word again, they would throw it away because they were so careful. They felt like somehow it was just a reverent act of doing so. Now, I don't believe in doing that. But I will tell you this, it is a holy name. And we need to reverence that name. Now, when we look in the Old Testament, there's various different examples of this. In the Old Testament, we discover on this very special occasion on the Jewish calendar, it's the day that this name was proclaimed loudly, and that was on the day of Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. And on that day, the high priest went into the Holies of Holies, this is Leviticus chapter 23, and there on that day, he took the name Yahweh upon his lips. And in there he would make vows and he would pronounce these things and he would pray over the people and would go through the rituals. But it was a special day. And they would use that name in a special way on that specific day. But to help us understand that name a little bit more, how many remembers the story of Moses there in Exodus chapter 3? And he's about to go back to Egypt, right? God has spoken to him. Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. And what does he want him to tell Pharaoh? Let my people go. And all of a sudden, you know the conversation a little bit there. Well, Lord, Elohim, Creator, who do I tell him has sent me? And what was the famous revelation that God gave Moses? I am that I am. This is the beautiful title of God's self-existence. Here, we understand when he says, I am who I am. This is letting him know, I'm the I am has sent you. And all the other famous names among the Egyptian gods that represent certain things, even the name Pharaoh represented the god of Ra, the god of the sun. The one that is sending you, Moses, is simply the one, hear me, that is. I am that I am. I am the self-existent. I am not dependent on anybody else. I don't need anybody's approval. I don't need anybody to vote on me. I don't need to be propped up by a ritual. I am that I am. I am the very one that it is, that always has been, always will be. I am the one and only self-existent, self-maintaining, self-sustaining God Almighty. That's who I am. That's who he wanted him to tell them. Brothers and sisters, that's the God we serve today. All these other false deities, all the other false religions, and you can see them all throughout the world in different cultures, but we serve the God that is. And in reality, he is the only God that is. Does he have a rival? Anybody on par with him? Every other deity is simply this. There's a demon behind all these false deities. And demons are created beings. They're not deities at all. There's only one God. He is the great I am. Now you would remember in Exodus 33, when God is going to meet with Moses there on the mountain. Does anybody remember Moses' famous request? Lord, show me what? Thy glory. And we know the Lord's going to speak to him and say this. Notice, I will cause all of my goodness to pass by you, in front of you if you would. Notice what he says. I will proclaim my name. Lord, in your presence, Yahweh said, I'm going to proclaim my name, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face and live. So what does the Lord do for Moses? He says, look, there is a place by me, a cleft in the rock. And the Lord came down in chapters 34 and verse 5 of the book of Exodus. And the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there. Notice what he did. He proclaimed his name, Yahweh. That's what he proclaimed unto him. And he passed in front of Moses and the King James Version proclaiming, Lord, Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God. Says his name twice. And then he explains this, that when he's saying his name and he's revealing his character, that he, the God, that the great I am, the one that is, the self-existent, the Yahweh of heaven is compassionate and loving and kind and forgiving and good and gracious and almighty. And he also judges those who are guilty. That's the God that Moses was exposed to. And that's the God that we are exposed to, the one that we serve. Can you hear me? God forbid we use his name lightly. God forbid we tag his name on the end of a swear word or put it in a moment of frustration of your carnal anger and just hurl his name out in front of your family and children and those around you, that it becomes a light thing that floats through the house. God forbid that ever be the case, because he is the great I am. Lord, help us. I've been so convicted studying this. I've studied and I've asked the Lord to help me. Again, I've been trying to go back in my mind. I don't know if I've misused his name much or not. I said, Lord, I know one thing, but going forward, I want to pay attention. I want to be careful. If it be on Facebook, or if it be in conversation, or on the cell phone, or something that I'm watching, let me be careful, God, that your name is not taken in vain or mistreated. Now, the names of God, some of you are very familiar with. I'm not going to go over all of them. Jehovah Jireh, what does that mean? Lord, that is our provider. Genesis 22 and 14. Jehovah Nisi is what? Lord is my banner. Exodus 17 and 15. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Judges 6 and 24. Jehovah Shammah, Ezekiel 48 and 35. I didn't think that'd be as loud. The Lord that is there. Jehovah Sabaoth, if I'm saying that right, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Roah, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. And what is that unique one that starts with a T? That one. The Lord is righteous, correct? Every time I see it, I say, I just asked Brother Glenn, and you won't be there in the future. So hence why it's not in my notes, but I'm glad you're here tonight. But we see all these different names, and they represent who God is. We could go further and talk about Elohim. Talks about his creativity and his supremeness and his faithfulness. And we could talk about El, which means God, or El Shaddai, God Almighty, or El Adonai, means Lord. We could go on and on and talk about this. These are all names that represent the God that we serve. So back to this very point right here. Beware that you don't take a name that is so full and so rich and play light with it. Again, I'm going back to my original fault at the beginning. How wrong would it be if I took Brother Tom Neff's name and misrepresented him? If I took his name and all the wonderful attributes that's tied up in his identity, his neighbors know him and his church knows him, he's been a faithful deacon, and if I took his name and just used it lightly throughout the community and misrepresented him, that would be offensive, and it should be. How much more that if a name taken out of context or misused, like Tom Neff or Derek Jones or Shane Cook, or I could go around the room, if that is offensive, What about the name of God Almighty that is so powerful? How much more offensive is it that if we misuse His name? Everybody follow me here tonight. Again, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be careful. And I mean that sincerely. Any questions about any of that I've said about His name, about what His name means, and anybody got anything they want to add or say here tonight? All right. Let's move a little further here tonight. Let's look at some of the ways that we can abuse the name of God Almighty. The first way I want you to notice here tonight is this: by the way of profanity. Now, profanity simply means to profane, to blaspheme. Culturally, that means a lot of things in different places. But you know what profanity is in the United States of America. And we are living in a generation, I've even talked to people who are quote-unquote Christians that have gotten to the place, because I don't know if you remember this a couple years ago, but there was a rapper who said that he got saved. His name was Kanye West. Live Like the Devil. And he came out with a Christian CD, God Is My King. And you should have seen the people say, oh my, this is, look what God's done for him. Profanity in the music. Cussing. And I was just, I was appalled by this and thought I could talk to somebody about it. And that person said, oh, come on, man, it's cultural. Profanity ain't that bad. How would you feel if I got in this pulpit and used words that were profane? Does it matter? Your eyes, right now, even talking about, if I ever did such a thing, which I have no intention of doing that, it's not even in me to want to do that, you're disgusted by the idea. But cussing preachers, it's kind of a new thing. In the compromised religions of the world, some of them have cussed on stage or said things that are very profane. But I'll tell you right now, if you say that you are a born-again believer, saved, washed in the blood of Jesus, and the Spirit of God lives in you, and you walk around talking the filth of this world, God forbid, and shame on you. Now, profanity goes further than that, because we understand that profanity reveals some things about the people that use such words, especially, and we'll not even hint towards it, but we know there's certain words that people use with God attached to it. It's just horrible, misusing His name in a profane way, whichever culture you're in. And when this happens, number one, a person shows contempt for God. That a man or a woman take the precious name of Jesus or the name of a thrice holy God and mix it with some sort of muck and mire and slime of this world. What a shame that is. Adrian Rogers, an old Baptist preacher, has a wonderful thought about some of this. And I'm going to read to you some of the things that he said. He said, sometimes when you rebuke a man about his profanity, he would say, oh, I didn't mean anything by it at all. I've heard him say things like this, pardon my French. And I told a man one day, I said, I don't understand French, and I understood everything you said. I said, it makes me sick. I can't stand it. Some people say, oh, I didn't mean anything by it. But Rogers would say, but this person has taken the name that is above every name, and the name of Jehovah God, and the name which the blind were given sight, and the name by which the deaf ears were made to hear, and the name by which the dead are raised, and the name by which we are saved. Neither is there salvation in any other name, the very name of Jesus. He takes that name and says, oh, I didn't mean anything by it. He said, that's just the problem. When you say that name, it should have meaning, should have purpose, and should have a reason. Secondly, it reveals rebellion against God if you take the Lord's name and profane it. Again, the Bible lets us know, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. There it is, right there in the Bible. Black print on white paper, doesn't need much interpretation. It is plain for all to see. You've got to be careful, because here it shows a contempt for God. It's rebellion against God. If God doesn't like it, you ought not do it. How many would say amen? Also, it shows a rotten character. There was a preacher years ago named Sam Jones, no relation. And he used to say, he was an old evangelist, I read this. He said, when I hear a man curse or swear, he said, I grab my wallet. He said, because a man will cuss and use the Lord's name in vain, he might take my wallet. What does he mean by that? If he don't care nothing about the name of the Lord, but to use it as a swear word, ain't no telling what else he don't care about. Profanity, misuse of the Lord's name, also reveals a lack of self-control. Now, many would say, I would never use the words of profanity. But again, this is where my grandma comes in. What about that old secondhand cursing? Now, some of you old-timers are probably about to shout right here, because you've been telling us for years, probably. That younger generation, they need to be more careful with their words. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of words. I'll not go over all of them because I would feel hypocritical being in the pulpit. I'm not talking about outright profanity, but those other words you turn to, and it's just close enough to the cuss word, and you say it with just as much force, and we always act like that's completely okay. Well, my grandma would pop you quick at a dinner table. Don't you use any bywords in this house. I can tell you a few times, and again, not even what we would consider to be explicit cursing. You might as well say the real thing, so she'd tell you. You might as well go on and say it. I was like, well, I don't want to say that. Well, you don't need to say that. Well, it reveals a lack of self-control. And I'll not go over all those little phrases. But anyhow, pray. You can't qualify everything, can't tell everybody. But I'll tell you this, you ought not cuss. And be careful you don't find something just as close to it that it becomes just becomes a word you use. Just a substitute, because if you could cuss, you would have. Just got to be careful. Lord, help us there. Number five, to take the Lord's name in a cursing form, and again, I would not say it, but to inquire that worst word among profanity and pretty much tell a person you want them to go to the worst place they could go. You have no love for their soul if you really mean that. If you were to look at a man or a woman and pretty much tell them, or even the phrase that somebody would lightly tell somebody to go somewhere, there's a worse place to go, and lightly say it, do you know what you are saying? That the place of eternal torment, you're so mad at somebody that you would tell them to go there, shame on you. And again, you ought not say it, and you ought not watch people say it. You ought not say it, and you ought not watch people say it. Be careful what you watch and what you take in. And we can become so desensitized to it that we don't even realize it. And that's the problem with our irreverent generation today. We're enamored by that which is irreverent, and we wonder why people have no reverence for the things of God. Not only that, much more could be said along these lines of profanity. But again, when it comes to this idea, this is another thought from another writer. He said, I don't know why people like to profane the name of the Lord. He said, number one, you ought not do it. He said, sinners that do it, though. He said, it's such an empty pleasure. Listen to what he said. This is his reasoning, and follow me, and please understand what he is saying. He said, God forbid that a man would commit adultery. But at least in his twisted, lost mind, he feels like he's having a relationship. He said, God forbid that somebody would ever murder a man. He said, in his mind that's twisted, maybe he feels like he's getting revenge. And it goes down, if a man steals something in his twisted mind, at least he's got what he stole. He said, but why cuss? You get nothing. What does it benefit you? Nothing. No sin benefits. You know what I'm saying. But it's an empty thought and empty words that you will be held guilty for. All right, let's look at our second thought underneath the misuses. Any thoughts about profanity? Any other things I could clarify? And again, you can't cover it all, but just I hope you get the gist of it. All right. Also, there are those people who use his name in a frivolous way. This is another way of misusing it. I've already mentioned this some, but some people misuse his name for humor. holy things, sacred things, glorious things can sometimes become a part of a foolish joke and frivolous remarks. Some people will say things like this: Jesus is a superstar. That's a very empty way of talking about your Lord and Savior. He is no superstar. He's the creator of the stars. He's the King of Kings. But I guarantee you, the climax he's going for is not Hollywood. I assure you of that. People sometimes can tell jokes with no point at all, except somehow it involves deity, it involves God and some little humorous thing. But again, you've got to be careful. And again, I am not against humor. You know that. But just be careful is the point. We've got to be careful, not making God just a figure of speech. What about people who just use his name in vain repetition? That would go back to what Sister Shelley said a little bit. It's just something they repeat all the time. It's just a cliche. It's a slogan. It's a phrase. Vain professions, vain prayers, vain praises. Do you know it's possible to really come to church and even echo his name, but your heart is completely disengaged from what you should be a part of? That's dangerous. It's dangerous. And I would encourage you, even in my leaving service, some of my last services, whatever happens, make sure you are sincere and authentic from your heart, and that worship and church attendance and reading your Bible is not just some dead ritual or vain repetition and something you do because you don't want somebody to think wrong of you. You need to do it from your heart. You've got to be careful. Lastly is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy takes the name of God in vain because you say one thing and you do what? Live another. Hypocrisy, that word basically means a stage act. Listen to what God says in Isaiah 48 and verse 1. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. Again, they just say his name without having any involvement of their heart. Hypocrisy is a dangerous thing, church. And I believe right here where God judges swiftly, if you say you are a Christian and you live complete opposite of what you should live, and you are touting the name of God Almighty, I do trust the Lord will get your attention and shame on you and whatever needs to happen, because you can bring a reproach on the kingdom of God by saying one thing and living another. And I would that God would reveal all hypocrites, because hypocritical professions are dangerous. All right? Any questions about that last one, hypocrisy? Yes, Brother Shane. I would say certainly so. Yes, if a man says that God told him something, and again it was a vain, again, and that can become a little cliche in church. You know, the Lord said this to me. The Lord said that to me. You've got to be careful, because if you say it emptily, yeah, that can be a way of taking the name's Lord in vain. I agree, brother. Yes, and I would think so personally. Any other thoughts? Clarification? All right. Let's go a little further. Let's talk about the proper use of his name. Now, we know there's no other name under heaven whereby what? We'll be saved. Do we encourage people to call upon that name in all sincerity when they need to be forgiven of their sins? That's a give me. Yes. Sincerely call upon the Lord. What about using his name in evangelism? That's okay, ain't it? Telling the world about the Lord and God Almighty. Proclamation. Sincere worship. How important is it that when we come to... How about this? Let's take it right here. Let's find us a hymn. Go to these songs sometimes, and you're singing about God's faithfulness and salvation, and you can go on and on, and you're talking about Jesus. You know, you can sing songs sometimes, it can be a vain song to you, that you don't mean it from your heart, and you're just kind of going through it. And again, I'm not talking, I know we can all get a little distracted at times, sing things that I'm not talking about. I understand that's human nature. But I'm talking about there's some people that hypocritically can sing, and they don't mean anything they're singing. It's not touching their heart. It's not from their heart. You can have vain worship. But there's nothing wrong with proclaiming and worshiping God Almighty. Is it wrong to discuss that name? Talk about Him. What about even, we've all probably, many of us have done this. You ever cried upon the Lord, if you would, in spiritual warfare? Cried out to the Lord to help stand for you and fight for you and to come against the enemy. Anybody else in this room ever looked at or ever talked to the devil a little bit? And said, get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And you meant it from your heart. And you meant it with authority because you knew that the Lord is on your side. I believe it's okay to do that. And there's many other things that we could say about the proper uses of His name. Again, there's abuse and there's a proper way to use it. All right, any questions about that? All right. Let's look at the last section of this here tonight. Give me about another 10 minutes or so. God will vindicate His name. And I could probably even say He has to vindicate His name. Notice what He says. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that use His name in vain. This idea of guiltless, the word guiltless means that this person is not clean. They are not pure. They are not free. They are not innocent. God will deal with those who willfully violate the sacredness of His name. Again, imagine having to stand before God, knowing that you've misused His name, that you misrepresented His name, that you've took it in a vain way or lived in a vain way. Imagine that, because God is going to hold people accountable. If you say you are a believer, you better live like it. You better talk like it. And you better reverence His name. If you ever meet somebody that has just a great looseness and frivolous and profane with the name of God and saying they are a Christian, it is safe to say they are not. And if they are, they are on the verge of losing out because they do not realize how serious it really is. I know God's merciful, but God takes serious His name. The person that uses God's name in vain cannot fully be right with God. This is a man or a woman that needs to surrender and repent when they have knowingly done so, or if God brings it to their attention if they have done so. I found this pretty interesting, talking about, you know, it used to be, follow me here, it used to be common sense that if you got saved, you talked different. Anybody else remember those days? That was like you know, when you got born again, man, they talk a lot different. I've told you this before, and as far as I know, in my memory, since I got born again, I have not cussed one time. Now, if somebody's here and say, well, I have. Well, maybe God had to sanctify your tongue, call it whatever you had to do. But I cussed like a sailor when I was a sinner. I had sinners who cussed, told me I cussed too much. That's pretty bad. When I got saved, it would disgust me to think about using His name in vain in such a way to attach it to a cuss word. I was reading this. This reminded me of that. I remember reading this years ago, but came across it fresh in the study. After the great Welsh revival in 1904, there were so many miners there in the local city who were vile men. Men that were perverted, men that were promiscuous, men that were drinkers, drunkards, they cussed, they were fighters. And when they got born again and they went back into the mines, they ran into an issue. The mules that they would use to help work there in the mines were controlled by their voices and their words, and they had certain phrases they would use. But they realized something. The mules were not listening like they used to. Why? Because the men didn't use the same words they used to use. So they had to start over and retrain these mules. True story. That was recorded there in that revival history of the Welsh revival. And they noticed an instant change in these men's lives. And I agree and believe today, let it be so that when we are genuinely born again, let them tell, not only by our attire, not only by the places we go and the things we do, but let them be able to notice there's a difference in the way that we talk. The other day I stopped at a gas station and went to the gas station. This is something I try to live by. I try to smile at the person behind the counter and say, how you doing today? You know, some people around here just catches them off guard. You go into 7-Eleven and you're like, hey, how you doing? And sometimes they don't even answer you. You're like, okay. Well, the other day, a lady was sitting there and I was buying a drink. And I say, how you doing today? She said, I'm doing good. How about you? I said, I'm doing wonderful. I said, nothing to complain about. She said, God's good. I said, yes, he is. She said, you've got to be a Christian. So I'm a pastor. She said, I can tell. Not that it always happened that way. But I am glad to know that you can smile and not have to be profane and frown and be miserable. But let them see there's something that is good. And again, I meant it. God is good. It's okay. That's a right use of it. Let the world know that our God is faithful and he is real. God's plan for his people is that we would guard our tongues and our words. We would reverence and respect him. Christians should not and need not swear or attach an oath to their speech that they're not going to keep. That's another way you can use his name in vain. If you take his name and make a promise or swear or make an oath. Bible says, look, just let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. If you're going to say it, then do it. You don't have to misuse Yahweh's name. Just do it. And if you just do what you say, you wouldn't have to attach anything to it. Your character will speak for itself. There's many of you in this room, no doubt. If you tell me you're going to do something, I know you would do it. If you didn't do it, either you really forgot or you're going to give an explanation or let somebody know why. Why is that? Because you care about your word. And you care about your name. I'll close with this. And I was thinking, I said, Lord, this is my last Wednesday teaching. And I said, Lord, help me to really represent this well. But I thought about this, and this verse came to mind. You know it so well. When the Lord was teaching his disciples to pray, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. What does he say? Hallowed be thy name. That word there means to make holy, purify, consecrate, to venerate, hallow, be holy, sanctify. Lord, our Father which art in heaven, holy, pure, sanctified be thy name. Before this world will ever reverence his name, we got to start again in the church house. We got to start again in the church house. His name is not frivolous. It is not something you just throw around. But starting from right here behind this pulpit, starting with me, I said, I want to do better and be more careful. How many would agree? Let's be careful. How many wants these children in our churches to be careful and to realize that when mommy or daddy or my grandparents or those church members, when they use the name of the Lord, it may be worshipful, it may be in prayer, but it's going to have a right usage to it. It's not just going to be a phrase that's thrown around when they get angry or frustrated or just telling jokes. Lord, hallowed be thy name. Stand to your feet tonight. Amen. I want you to pray that with me tonight. Lord, hallowed be thy name. I encourage you. Again, I know our Lord is merciful and gracious, and probably much that's ever said is not really intentional, just out of habit, bad habits. But we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional because what you say matters. How many believes God's word is infallible and right? And if God says that if his name is taken in vain, and I realize if you really dig into this too, it's not only frivolous, but it's taking oaths and things like that, and hypocrisy, but just misusing his name in a purposeful way, and even being too loose with it, says he will not hold you guiltless. God knows us all. He knows if you have or you haven't, or if you know that you've done this or didn't do that. He knows how to take care of you and deal with you. But he also wants you to be intentional about his name. He wants you to be intentional. And I want the Lord's name to be holy, don't you? Lord, help. Let's pray.